Right. Well, good morning, everyone. You know, that's a blessing. You know, the Lord sovereignly put in place the principles of sowing and reaping.
That's what he saw.
That's true. You're right about that.
And we
set this thing up.
Yeah. If you want to understand, I tell people all the time, if you want to understand Father God, you got to look at Adam. And he put Adam in a position where he had to choose. You know, when they overdo the grace message, they leave out the two trees. You know, it's not like you just select the tree of life. You have to select the tree of life and reject this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to put all your trust in the Lord and none in the world. So when we receive grace as a free gift, but if you don't reject the world, you back in the law again. Mm-hmm. Because the law was given to the lawless. And yeah,
they needed a savior.
Mm-hmm. You don't go and choose God and then say, "Well, I'm gonna choose the world too." You're gonna have conflict. It's gonna be a problem.
You open yourself up totally to Satan.
Yeah,
yeah.
Destroys you.
You're living in a stalemate. And but when you choose God and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now you're living. And Adam was put in that position. He would have lived forever if he didn't do nothing but just obey God. But this, the tree of life, it exposes a reaching forth. It's just like you get saved, well, you're saved. You're in the kingdom of God. But when you take time and study the word, you're reaching forward. You're reaching into the kingdom of God. And when you obey it, you're also simultaneously rejecting the lies of the world. And then you thrive. The Lord was showing him how, and it had to be a choice. It could, God didn't make him do it. He had to do it on his own because God did it as a choice.
Yeah.
And when people, anytime people get away from that, they get off track. When in everything is the first example God gave us in Genesis is what he'll stick with. The word of God sticks with it. We live by, like Lynn was saying, we develop in wisdom as we obey God. And that makes your sowing powerful to reap a powerful harvest. When you're reaching forth to understand God, to get the knowledge of God. And it puts you in a position to be a blessing to people. Let's see, now last week we made it down to chapter 7. And we just saw a revival start. And so Stephen had worked miracles and people had begun to get saved. And the religious leaders were angry. Verse 7 says, "And then said the high priest, are these things so?" Following chapter 6. And he said, Stephen said, "Men and brothers, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran." Now, we covered a little bit that last week, but he lived in Haran. Haran was a city named after Abram's brother. And he's bringing them back to the basics, to the foundation. This is something that they should know about. And he was accused of speaking against Moses and the law. So he took them back to the basics to show them where he was, what he believed. Because they paid liars to lie against him in court.
See, what they were doing, though, they were not even following Moses and the law. The scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were not even following. They were following Babylonian tradition.
Yeah.
That they brought from Babylon.
Yeah.
See, just like Brother Monty, he was talking about that in our end times class.
Wow.
See, that's what they were doing. The traditions of the elders, what they were going by. Mm-hmm. They were not going by the actual law.
That's
but
true.
They were just trying. They hated Stephen because he was doing that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Right. And he was accurate. You know, he was in accuracy. They were in error.
Exactly. Big time in error.
And what he was doing here in chapter 7 was exposing them for what they were. Because when you live the light of God, you expose the world for what it is. Mm-hmm. Every time. And when we put all of our trust in God, we do, we automatically do it because we were made the light of the world and the salt of the earth. When a person boards an airplane, when they get on board, they're putting all of their trust in that airplane. They believe that that airplane is going to land safely.
You wouldn't get on it, would you?
Oh, you will not get on it. You're investing everything you've got, except for the fact that you're going to live forever. You can't invest that because that's not going to change. But everything you own in this world, when you board that plane, you believe that plane's going to land and you're going to get to keep everything you have, which is in your life. Because once you die, then everything you own goes to somebody else.
Everything.
Everything. So everybody that boards a plane, they put all their trust in a plane. If we can do that, why not put all of our trust in the Word of God?
Amen.
And when you obey God like that, you know, faith is the beginning, but faith turns into trust because you say, God always came through, so I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to do what He said now. I'm going to do what the Word says, and I'm going to keep doing what the Word says.
You know, there is one thing that you can't take with you when you die, and that's all the people that you have come to Christ.
Yeah, and your spiritual wealth, because you will get rewarded.
That is true, absolutely right. It's laid up in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. But a rich man that never got saved, he loses everything.
He loses everything, right. And he's tormented.
Yeah, and that's why, like you said earlier, people are appointed to die, and I want to stop that process.
Amen. Amen.
And you can't stop it unless you stick with the foundation, because if we don't live the light, we can't draw them. They're drawn to the light. You know, I paint cars, and I was painting my sister's car back in, I guess it was around 88. And I had to finish it because I had to do other work. But when it gets dark, you know, you're not supposed to paint because the bugs are going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of paint I was using, I had to wait an hour between coats. So I said, I got to do something. I need to finish this car, and I don't need bugs in it. So I had my fan set up. I took my shop light and hung it on the fan. When I put my first coat on, I turned all the lights off and left that bulb on it by that fan, and all the bugs went to the light and got sucked out the door.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I don't think I didn't have one bug to get out of that car. It was and the light of God's word is what draws people.
Amen.
And you have to take a stand. You have to have courage and boldness.
So it don't matter how much darkness is there. Mm-hmm. That can't use that as an excuse.
No.
The light draws them.
Mm-hmm. And some people will see the light, and that the day they see it, they may not come forward, but. Mm-hmm. The actions of God and His Word is a seed. If they see the Word of God in action, that's a seed, and it can form in their heart just like the spoken word. Sometimes you can draw people without saying anything, as long as you live the Word. And then when you speak the Word, it has more impact, and they can't forget it. And it over time, it works. It's just like a seed.
The whole book of Acts is that way. They'll do something miraculous, a sign of wonder, church is added to it.
Yeah.
It's all for you.
You're right.
And every time you see the Lord strengthening the foundation before the move comes, before people are drawn, foundational things happen first.
Mm-hmm.
And then God deals on top of it. And that's how the Lord taught me. But when people want the move of God too fast, they try to bypass the foundational things, and it can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Stephen was doing. He stuck with the foundation, and he even got killed because of it. But the seed was planted in Brother Saul.
Yes.
And what he's preaching now is the pricks that Saul was kicking against till Jesus knocked him off his horse. Okay,
And what's really wild about that, see, Saul really thought he was doing the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's wild about it, see.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was doing the will of God, and that's what's going to happen at the end times. People are going to be thinking they're doing the will of God.
Exactly.
Not Allah,
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
by killing Christians.
Right. Mm-hmm. And see, deception has to be unraveled. It takes time, but it can be unraveled.
Oh, yeah.
because the word of God is more, that's the most powerful persuasion. A man living according to God. It didn't take but 10 men for God to not to spare two cities, Sodom, Gomorrah, and then the surrounding cities that were smaller.
Right.
He just needed 10 righteous men to stop that sin.
Ain't that something?
He didn't have a one. his son-in-laws wouldn't even leave.
No.
So foundation works. And he's going to take them back to the basics. He said, and men and brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now Charles Capp said that Hebrew words could be spelt many different ways. We know that's Haran, because in Genesis it was Haran.
Right.
Verse 3, and he said unto them, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. I often wonder, why did God let them go into captivity like that? But he made a covenant with Abraham. And when the covenant was sealed, that's when the Lord showed him these things. When Abraham gave God the offering, and then the Lord showed him what would happen. It's 15 after, okay. And this was the wisdom of God. He wanted the people to progress. And they didn't have to worry about fighting for 400 years, because they were within a nation that could protect them. There's a lot of wisdom in this. They had a servant's attitude. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you got to be a servant. If you won't be a servant, you're not going to grow the same. You won't be as strong. They had to learn to be a servant.
That's true.
Because you can never lead unless you learn to serve. Never.
Right.
All leaders had to learn to serve.
Yeah. Moses had the 10 cows. And I hate to say it, but people can act just like cows sometimes. You can learn a lot of wisdom being a cowboy. Watch. Dealing with cows. But he did. God, he had to lead millions of people out of Egypt. So there's a lot of wisdom in this sovereign move of God, but it worked. The Lord, there are so many ways he could have done it, but this is what he chose, so this was the best way to do it. And I learned that about the Lord. When he does something, there are many options before him, but he's going to choose the best one. The most effective for his purpose, he's going to choose it.
Now, 40 years later, they still knew about it in Jericho.
Yeah.
They still knew about it 40 years later.
Yeah. And people, nobody could forget the Exodus. They talk about it now.
Yep. They're actually trying to erase it from history now, a lot of people are.
And it's impossible. They got Egyptian chariot wheels stuck at the bottom of the Red Sea.
I know. Sure do.
And now they got it on the internet.
They actually found, they know where the actual mountain is, that folks went up on and stuff over there. The whole top of it is charred, and stuff from, the lightning and the fire of God coming down, power.
And then after that, you got Jesus Christ that nobody can forget.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he's coming back.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Talk about turning the world upside down.
So, yeah. The world, and not to mention the Acts of the Apostles. They couldn't get rid of nothing. I mean, now you got a whole nation founded on Christian principles.
And just like the natural. How could anything just happen? Gasoline for cars, combustion engines, internet, everything we need, God provided. That is sovereignly, because he's the one that provided it. Because we can't make oil appear. Or we can't, you know.
Creation was sovereign. Yes, it was a sovereign act of God. Yes, it was.
But see, how can anybody believe there's not a God?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. Your body, you don't have to think about it working. But that just happened from one little, a cell so intricate, how could that happen? I mean, you have to be a fool.
DNA is an algorithm, a computer algorithm.
Really?
In our body.
I just know it goes to the moon and back. From my body, there's so much of it.
The DNA does, it's a computer algorithm.
And it's in my body.
And it's in your body right now. But they got a new computer now that is big time. Anybody can buy it. Where they can rewrite your DNA. They can take blood out of you, rewrite the DNA, inject it back into you, and
the technology
do all kinds of stuff.
Who got to say it? I mean, it just blew up one day.
When you think about it.
Just funny, naturally.
When you think about it, Genesis is like DNA. It's the blueprint that if we choose to stick to those facts and obey God, it transforms everything. Because it's founded on faith. Even redemption is in it, because he talked about the seed of woman.
Yeah.
When you stick with Genesis, you don't get out in left field. You'll stay with the word and you'll be structured properly. And the word of God is going to do what it's supposed to do. Every gift that God gave, he gave his best. When he sent our Savior, he sent Jesus Christ. No angels, other people, others.
Amen.
Angels that were qualified, he didn't send them. He sent his only begotten Son. He became a man himself and died for us. When Israel wanted a king, he chose Saul. He was the very best choice. When Saul got fired, he chose David. He was the very best choice. And just like little Jim pointed out, that he considered all of Jesse's sons, but David was the best choice.
Yeah.
And David was a man after God's own heart.
That he would fulfill all his will. That's the rest of that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So obedience is very important, isn't it?
Obedience is very important. I confess that I'll obey God.
Amen.
I confess that I'll obey him all the time. I confess that I love his will.
And speak his word.
Glory to God.
You can't leave it. You can't leave. Yeah.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
You can't. Success is not an accident. You can't leave it, a piece of it, to happenstance.
No.
That would be the wrong definition of sovereign, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because God is a God of principles, and he has to. When he calls us, we're not just his sons and daughters. We're also a creation. He has a right to tell us to do what he wants us to do.
Amen.
And sometimes the people that he called were not his first choice. Creflo Dollar said that was two or three people that God tried to put that anointing on before him. And I told Pastor about that. And that was an anointing that the Lord wanted to give. And I know of three people that he wanted to give this anointing to. And he couldn't, because they wouldn't obey him the same. And he gave it to Pastor. So that's how God does. He chooses. He does it the right way. If the first choice would not do what God said, he'll have to go the next route. But that's how it works. Now, we'll pick up on verse 7 next week in chapter 7. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. Bless us to do all that's in your heart. Bless us to be comforted, to do all that you have us to do, all of your word, everything that you have planned for us. Help us to be ready for it and obey you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, glory to God.